CliffCentral.com.
Alrighty, it is time to get stuck into this morning, and we've got lots of things to talk about. Leanne Moll joins us, Sia Sangweni's here, and we're here for you to keep you company and make sure that everything starts off right for this week. I'm away on Friday. I'm going away with the family to the Kruger National Park. I haven't been there in such a long time. I went to that private game reserve last year, which was really amazing. And it was probably the first time I've been in the bush for at least a decade, which is ridiculous because it's just amazing. And it's right here on our doorstep, you know. So I'm
looking
forward to
that. Have you thought about what car you're going to use?
No, but Phil, who we spoke to on Friday, Phil Kutzer from DeWitt Motors, he's going to figure it out for me. I'm not the expert when it comes to these things, but I always think if you go to the park, it's nice to have something with, you know, windows, obviously big windows. So I'm thinking of something like one of those. Leanne, we can't hear you. What was that?
Big windows is a plus.
Well,
or
yeah,
any
I
windows.
Mean, you know, if you, it's not really good to be in a police wagon with the bars. I don't think that's ideal. So anything
or
other
in
than
a
that,
tank,
or in a tank, not such great visibility, obviously from the inside out. But yeah, any suggestions that people have, I'll be willing to listen to and take very seriously.
Good point.
But yeah,
well, my father used to threaten us with one of those police vans growing up.
That's nice.
I don't know why it was a thing with our siblings.
That's quite harsh.
No, very harsh. Jesus.
Let me provide the context. Gosh, I'm making him sound like an evil man. I don't know why it was a thing with us, but it was always a fight as to who would sit next to the window growing up, because it was always a thing of you can see outside and can see
I still do that
everything.
I still do that on airplanes. I want the windows.
Right? Yeah. Good point. It's still that. Yeah. So we'd fight so much about it with my sisters. He would so often go, you know what? The next car I'm going to buy is just going to be a police van. None of you guys will be able to see out the window.
Okay.
Clearly, he loved racing.
So we all know about the difficulties that many people are going through in this economy. We spoke about Norma Gigaba and how she can't find anything useful to spend 3,000 rand on. It's just too little for her. But there are people who've made tons of money during the coronavirus pandemic in just vaccines. Sia will tell us who they are. And then Leanne's going to tell us about 10 big businesses that have gone bankrupt. And this is useful information. This is interesting to have. You know, if what Dr. Hanand said just now is, if that's valid, it's also valid in business. It's like you have to dance while the song's playing. You have to learn to deal with change. And obviously the people who've learned to deal with change best are those who've made a success of the last year, despite all the things that have been going on. Those who didn't were the ones who couldn't deal with change. So let's start off with the 10 companies, Leanne, that aren't around anymore. They've gone bankrupt due to COVID.
Well, let's just be clear that filing for bankruptcy doesn't necessarily mean that
they're
the
out of business.
Going to shut down.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Hmm. It's more of a financial restructuring that they have to go through.
All right, so obviously,
the whole thing.
Obviously, SAA, Eskom, Transnet. Which companies are we talking about?
Oh gosh. Okay, so these are international companies, and they're more like household names. Mm-hmm. One of them is NPC International Incorporated, which we may not have heard of, but they're the largest franchisee of Pizza Hut restaurants in the world. And also Wendy's, which is another fast food outlet.
Yes.
They filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in July. Hertz is one that we know well.
The rental car.
They're obviously, yeah. And remember that the rental car business is not just that. It's also about the sale of secondhand vehicles. So it's a big business. And they filed in May. They had about $20 billion in debt last year.
Jesus.
So they're currently just working on selling their fleet so that they can pay their employees.
Wow.
And their creditors.
That is hectic.
Another one is CMX Cinemas. That's a chain of movie theaters with dine-in options. We don't have them here. They have to pay up to 15% of unsecured claims. They are North American based.
Mm-hmm.
There's one that was surprising here, obviously big in America. We don't know about it. Ruby's Costume Company. They make costumes, wigs, and other festive gear.
Oh, they've got a, so they were a big business.
They were massive, yes.
Wow.
They were the biggest designer and maker of Halloween costumes in the world.
Okay.
And obviously people weren't celebrating Halloween and, you know, getting dressed up.
Wow.
It's been in existence for about 7 decades, and it took 1 year of bad business to drop it.
That's
used to be family owned before.
All right.
Then there's Brooks Brothers. I mean, these companies, like this company was founded in 1818. It's just really sad when you think about it. Brooks Brothers is a joint venture with Simon Property Group and Authentic Brands Group. Okay, then there's J. Crew, which we've heard about, which is a clothing brand, a very preppy clothing brand. They filed in May, but they had already started struggling over the last few years because of a decline in mall traffic. And that was due to online shopping, which had already, you know, really started before COVID even, but then was nailed down. JCPenney is another retailer.
Mm-hmm.
They have been in competition with Amazon and Walmart.
Right.
So they've actually agreed to sell most of their retail and operating assets to another asset management company. Gold's Gym, which we know.
Yeah.
They
went out of business or they went bankrupt.
Whoa.
Yeah, they filed in May. Gold's Gym owns and operates over 700 gyms in the US and internationally.
Mm-hmm.
Gold's Gym International was auctioned off in a court-approved auction process to Berlin-based RSG Group for $100 million, which is nothing.
Wow.
Chesapeake Energy.
It's nothing, huh, Norma Gigaba?
Yeah, it's nothing. there was a reduction in energy demand, and this Oklahoma City-based company filed for bankruptcy in June.
Mm-hmm.
They had more than $9 billion in debt. And then there's Virgin Atlantic. They filed in August.
Sure.
Really? That company is – the company is 49% owned by Delta.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to filing bankruptcy, Richard Branson's company tried to negotiate a bailout deal with the British government and a private rescue package, but things didn't work out there.
I remember, though, because the likes
of Victoria Beckham were holding on to government money, so that's why they couldn't exactly get government help.
But I remember they were in some difficulty already before coronavirus mm-hmm. came along. So, you know, it was a question of funding. And listen, I wouldn't want to be in the airline business. And this is why I say that governments shouldn't be in the airline business. And I refer specifically to our SAA. But it's a tough business. The margins are very, very slim. You depend on oil prices, international oil prices, for your fuel. It's expensive keeping these planes in the sky. There's huge competition from smaller players who can offer tickets at a cheaper price to, you know, more people. So I wouldn't want to be in that business. It's too difficult.
Jeez. I mean, imagine someone said to you, will you help start up this new airline?
No.
And there is a new airline in South Africa called Lyft.
Yes.
And I actually follow them on TikTok. They're nailing, from a business perspective and marketing, they're really nailing their TikTok presence.
Okay.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. They grab onto all the trains and the air stewards and the staff all do it. But I mean, imagine trying to keep up with what's going on now, starting something in an airline business. It's just crazy.
Well, I saw that there was one of the international airlines is offering really cheap tickets to America. The only problem is that it's very difficult for South African to get into America. You need to be vaccinated and you need to have a whole lot of other conditions met. And, you know, it's still tough to travel from here to there. But apparently from there to here, it's cheap as chips at the moment. So if you are in America and you want to visit South Africa, right now is a good time, apparently. Especially if you have been vaccinated, because then you just breeze through.
Who would have thought?
Mm-hmm. So interesting. Very tough business, though. Very tough to make any sense out of. All right. Are there any others you want to throw in there, or is that the comprehensive list?
Those were them, yeah.
All right. Well, Sia, you've got the opposite side of the story. These are people who've made tons of money during coronavirus.
Jeez. Like 9 new billionaires that were created solely from the vaccine rollout.
Wow.
They have a combined net worth now of $19.3 billion. Just let that sink in for a moment.
Sure. Didn't have that before.
No, absolutely not. So the first with the least amounts, I would say, are the CanSino Biologics co-founders. I haven't heard of them before this. Yeah, but CanSino, the three co-founders are worth just a little over $1 billion. So the first is worth $1 billion, the second $1.2 billion, and the third $1.3 billion. Then to some people that we might know, Moderna. The founding investor Robert Langer is now worth $1.6 billion. Shucks. Yeah.
Nice.
Then there's a Juan Lopez Belmonte who works for a company called Rovi. ROVI, and he's a Rovi chairman. Now, Rovi works with Moderna to manufacture and package the Moderna vaccine. Just from that so largely packaging element, he is now worth $1.8 billion.
Jesus.
Oh, Lord.
Unbelievable.
The Moderna chairman, his name is Nobar. Afeyan, I could be butchering that, I'm sorry. He's now worth $1.9 billion. And then there's a gentleman by the name of Timothy Springer. He's an immunologist, and he's also a Moderna founding investor.
So it looks like Moderna Moderna coins. I mean, that's a big payday for Moderna. You want to know who's had a great... Oh, coronavirus was fantastic. Imagine those guys are waking up like, please keep the coronavirus going for another 10 years.
Yeah. And you don't need one vaccine, you need two.
Yeah.
This is, by the way, the new billionaires that were created from this. So, for example, Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer aren't listed on this. I would assume they were already in the billionaire bracket, and I don't know how much they're worth now, but Moderna had a very, very big and substantial jump over the past year. So Timothy Springer, immunologist and Moderna founding investor, is now worth $2.2 billion.
Wow.
Oh yeah. Then we have a BioNTech CEO. I haven't really heard much about them, but he is the BioNTech CEO and co-founder. His name is Ugur Sahin. He's now worth $4 billion.
Must be nice. Must be nice.
Yes. And then the last of the new billionaires is Moderna's CEO. His name is Stefan Bansal, and he is now worth $4.3 billion. Mm-hmm. Shucks. This is all just vaccine.
You can imagine the amount of stress that has gone in, that has gone on for them. And I mean, again, it's a job that I wouldn't want to have. But still, amount of money is crazy.
No, I don't. I don't begrudge them this. Listen, there's a part of me that goes, oh, this, you know, coronavirus, you shouldn't be profiting from it. And there's another part of me that's like, if we didn't have these private companies like Moderna and Pfizer and AstraZeneca, if we didn't have them working on a vaccine, and they did it in record time, and what they achieved is nothing short of miraculous. The fact that we've been able to fend off this disgusting virus, which the Chinese gave us, and that we've been able to do it is due to private pharmaceutical companies. They deserve every cent of that money. And if you don't believe they do, then just don't get the virus and take your chances. But you can't have both.
So as soon as these figures were released, Oxfam, who, you know, like to think of them as think of themselves as for the people.
No, they're a bunch of moaning moaning do-gooders who probably only eat wheatgrass and shit in their own back garden. Go on. Anyway.
So they looked at the fact that, okay, there are these 9 new billionaires from the vaccine rollout, and they have a combined net worth of $19.3 billion.
Yeah. Oxfam so unfair. Well, yeah, it's so unfair. It's all about equality to them, yeah?
They said, did you know that if you combine all of these people's net worths, they could still have $4 billion left over, because one only needs $15.8 billion to fully vaccinate all people in low income countries.
Yeah, well, yeah. I suppose this is why Oxfam haven't raised billions in value and in cash. And I suppose that's also why we don't trust Oxfam to sort out the vaccines. Because if we did, we wouldn't have a fucking vaccine. Oxfam, shut your mouths. Not very helpful, are they?
So listen, guys, I must tell you about
my... So if anyone has $15 billion, yeah, exactly, just let us know and you can fully vaccinate the world.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. I must tell you about my vaccination experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like many of us, we've applied for the vaccination process, and in particular, we've applied for my mom and dad and other older members of the family.
Sure.
And it was the strangest thing. Well, my aunt's name came up first. So my brother took her to the Discovery building in Sandton, mm-hmm, and went through the whole process with her. And the very next day, which was Saturday morning, on Saturday morning at 8:15 in the morning, my brother and I both got the SMS to say, come for your vaccine today.
Oh, wow. You went.
Oh.
Yeah, how weird. But so they said, but you need to be here at 10 o'clock.
Oh, no.
It's like no notice at all on a Saturday morning.
Wow.
Anyway, I wasn't going to miss that. So we both got up and showered, and I went over to his place. We had a long talk in the car, because now it was becoming a reality all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. I said to him, you know, I actually lost someone that I knew in a car accident on Friday evening.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
And so I was in the game of mentally playing around with death.
Oh, God.
And it was like very fresh in my mind,
yeah,
you know, just because of the situation. And I started thinking, what if I do get really ill from this vaccine? You know, just those horrible thoughts. So it was quite a mental process to go through going for this vaccine. Spoke about it in the car, went into the building. I mean, I don't know if you've been close up to the Discovery building.
Yeah, I've been inside.
But it is absolutely massive. It's just really futuristic.
No, it's great.
And it felt so futuristic being in this row of cars. We were in the queue for an hour in our cars.
Mm-hmm.
It was so well run. It was unbelievable. I mean, it wasn't fast, but it's just... If you took a photograph of this row of cars slowly going into this beautiful building, it was like something out of a movie, something that you'd see in a pandemic movie, you know, in the year 20.
So did you don't even have to get out of the car?
No, so that's just the first process, the first part. Then you go into the parking lot and you've got to go down 6 levels, but everything's sign marked. They've made these enormous canvas banners with directions on them and what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So much organization has gone into this. It's unbelievable. Such an amazing process.
Right.
So we parked in this basement, and you're walking between barricades, and there are people in lab coats. You're still in the parking lot. and computers. It's just so bizarre. So bizarre. Anyway, we got there and we realized, obviously, we were with all the octogenarians.
Yeah, how did you two
still
get
confused?
I mean, you're old, but you're not that old.
Still confused, but, you know, okay, maybe they had some extra because people weren't pitching up. Because they do have to use up their doses quite quickly.
Okay.
What I have heard of is I've had friends who've gone with their octogenarian family members, and it's towards the end of the day, and they haven't used up all their vaccines. And so the younger ones will get vaccinated. So that has been happening. It wasn't far-fetched that we were
selected. So what happened? How do you eventually get to the front of the queue? And did they explain to you why you were selected?
Well, as soon as we got there, a woman said to us, okay, guys, clearly you're not over 60. Mm-hmm. And we need to let you know that what happened this morning with the SMSs is a glitch.
Oh, shit. So you'd waited for an hour for nothing?
Yeah. They said they didn't even really apologize because I don't think it was Discovery's fault. I think it was the government-based website that you apply on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we were immediately angry, but, you know, not obviously angry, or we weren't angry towards her. We were just cross with the situation. And discussing it, we said, you know, why didn't they stop us at the first point of contact? Because you go through so many points of contact.
Sure.
And it was still so early in the morning. They probably thought, why are all these young people pitching up? And only figured out at that stage
that there was a glitch.
Okay, we're dealing with a glitch here.
So in other words, you weren't meant to be there anyway, but I think it's probably right that they give all the old people the vaccines first. And like you said, Discovery sound like they've really got their shit together, you know, by and large. Again, this is a reason why people, if you're going to get angry with private healthcare in South Africa because you think it's terribly unfair, then show me where the government has outperformed them. They haven't. And they look after their clients. And I'll tell you what, it's worth paying whatever your premiums are every month if you're going to get the kind of service that it sounds like you would get if you were over 60 years old. And ultimately, what will happen for people who are much younger. And a good thing it is. I think it's a very good thing. So I'm sorry you had to waste your whole morning, but at least you know now what to expect when it happens.
Now we know what to do. Another thing is that we've got our message. It doesn't expire. It's not like a voucher.
Yeah.
So you just wait until the next group is called, which we think might be in around August.
Okay.
And when it was explained to us that if we give you the vaccine today, there'll be some 60-year-olds who won't get it. It was a no-brainer. We were like, absolutely fine. Thank you. We'll leave.
Don't prioritize yourself. If you're healthy, there are other people who probably need it a whole lot more, and let them get to the front of the queue. Makes sense.
I wonder if they care or not, but I actually, I think government should be embarrassed. Yes, great for private companies to do all of these things, and they do it so quickly and efficiently. But government, shame on you if they, you know, private companies are doing it better and they're doing it faster and they're doing it more effectively. What does that say about you?
There wasn't even a follow-up message, you know, saying, it was a glitch. Nothing today either, apologizing. I mean, there must have been people who went through a whole lot more to get there
This has never happened before, and we've got to just put up with some inconvenience. It's not the end of the world. I want to get to Collectomania, because I know this is something that has made my Mondays a whole lot more interesting. We've spoken to such interesting people over the course of the last couple of weeks, people who collect unreal things. Last week, we spoke to a dude who's got Rob Cohen. He's got a collection of tequilas and whiskeys that are just first rate. We've spoken to people who collect gold coins. In fact, the whole Collectomania series is brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange. We've spoken to Rael and his dad, Alan, about how they started the business. And, you know, they're selling a whole lot of things that are very, very much collectible. And I know I have some stuff. Leanne has some stuff. Sia's collecting some stuff. And we'll get on to our stuff probably towards the end of this, because there are some bizarre stories there too. But there's someone else who's really close to us who's also a collector. And it was such an obvious thing, because I knew this about her when we first met. And she also has probably one of the most colorful, beautiful, interesting, and varied collections of these particular things of anyone in the world. I mean, I like to call her the Imelda Marcos of hats, because she has the most insane. She's got a room of just hats. In fact, when I switch on her camera now, you're not going to believe what you see. But it's so good to see her again, and we love her to pieces, and we've missed her for a long, long time. Here she is, Jennifer Sue. Look at you.
Yay!
Would you look at that room? That is magnificent.
Welcome.
How are you, Jen?
I'm good. I mean, who cannot be in a great mood with all these crazy hats, you know? But this is my element. I love it. I never get a chance, you know? There's no parties anymore because of COVID. So this is my little party room.
So first of all, how are you and how's the family? I mean, I know you guys, when we spoke to you last, it was right at the beginning of lockdown last year. And I was asking you about your son, Michael, and I was checking in how you guys were doing because you were very nervous. You were like, everybody had to dip their feet in chlorine before they walked into your house. And and you were very, very nervous about coronavirus. And obviously, I've seen some of your social media updates, but tell everybody else what's been going on with you, because it's been a hell of a year.
It has been. I mean, I actually didn't realize we were going to be locked down for more than a year. And what's amazing is that now I am fully vaccinated. Everyone in our family is, and things are opening up.
Right.
It's really pretty incredible to see. But it's very worrisome with all these different variants. You know, we don't know what's going to happen in the coming months, and we'll just have to see. But the really amazing thing is my son is a lot better. He has finished his chemo therapy. Yeah. And I think things are on the up and up. So, you know, events are just starting to open up. And I recently emceed our Philadelphia Film Society Oscars party.
Yeah, so, I saw that.
To be able to just get back in, you know, and just seeing people. It's been such a hard year, you know, and it's great to get out there now. And I guess the one great thing is having all my hats with me.
Well, I mean,
just a few. So, no, because I have about 200 more in boxes. I'm renovating my house.
200 more in boxes. That's unreal. So, Jen, just take us through, because you've got some pretty amazing hats there. I mean, what do they call them? Milliners, the people who make hats, right?
That's right. I have so many different hats. I mean, this one, I love taking hats, just sort of simple hats, and then just embellishing them. So this one is actually from the floating market in Thailand. It's a floating market hat.
Yeah.
And I just decided to zhuzh it up with disco balls.
So right, look at that. Fun, you know. That's so great.
Yeah. And this one is the Andy Warhol hat. So there was an Andy Warhol hat that went on auction, and it sold for 1.2 million US dollars, 16.5 million rand, something like that. Crazy. So I decided I would make my own Andy Warhol million sort of rand hat with lots of runs.
You actually attached banknotes to it. So 2, 4, 6, 8.
Yes.
You got like,
because that's what Andy Warhol did. He put money all over his hat. So I figured I'm going to put South African runs on mine.
So hang on. That's probably over 1,000 rand in banknotes on there. So you could say that's your most expensive hat.
It is. This is a Philip Treacy Andy Warhol genuine hat. So it's really a special collector's item.
Now, you mentioned Philip Treacy. Isn't he the world's foremost milliner? He's like, he works for, you know, anybody who's got tons and tons of money, royal family weddings and that kind of thing. They all go to Philip Treacy. Is he the world's most famous milliner?
I think so. But there's so many amazing milliners. Another one that I love is a South African named Albertus Swanepoel. Okay. He's a great milliner. Also, Jacqueline Colby in Cape Town. Mm-hmm. She designed a lot of hats for me. And Joanne Strauss, Jeannie D, you know, many presenters for the Met and for many of the Queen's Plate and all of these different equestrian events. Gosh, I really miss being in South Africa where, you know, we would be able to go to all these great events and wear different hats, but at least I can wear them here in my house. This is a hat that you and Rena gave me. Wait, where is that hat?
We gave you a hat.
You did. Oh, wait. Sorry, turn my back. This one, do you remember?
Oh, that is. Yeah. That's a traditional South African hat, that.
Yes. You guys gave me this, and I always keep it. These hats really mean a lot to me. My dear friend Pita gave me a hat that says Jen Su on it, in case you forget who I am.
It's like a name tag, but it's on your head. So, Jen, how many hats do you have currently? You said 200 are in boxes, but how many do you have around?
So about 300.
Altogether or 300 plus 200?
Altogether. And I have some hats in various places that I've, you know, lived and worked. So Thailand and China. And
do you have a room just for hats? Do you have a room with just...
Oh, yes. Oh, in fact, I'm having five closets built right now. And then they have climate control. You know, yeah, I mean, you know, this is
serious. That's so great. That is so great. Sia's laughing. Sia's laughing because you're talking about his dream life where he can have five different closets that you store different
fabulous,
things.
Fabulous, Jen. Fabulous.
What is?
Well, I mean, the whole thing is that hats don't, they take up a lot more space than they should, don't they?
They do. I mean, every hat literally has to have a box like this. Put the hat in and keep it, say, you know, keep it nice.
Yeah,
and then
you've
got
to bubble wrap. They can't lose their shape, so you've got to put them in the hat box and make sure that they look as good the next time you take them out. Also, you don't want them getting all dusty and dirty. You can't just pile them on top of each other.
Mm. Correct.
Yeah.
Really,
I mean, like collecting coins. Collecting coins is a lot more easy when it comes to space.
I know. I should have started collecting coins instead of hats. This is stupid. I started it when I was a singer in Taiwan, and so I hated my forehead, and I always tried to use a hat and the wide brim of it to sort of, you know, cover my forehead, and that's how I started collecting hats. But if I just collected coins, it would have been so much easier.
So Jen, what about that hat that you got on at the moment? That looks very extravagant. What is that? It's almost hand beaded.
It is one of my show hats when I was a singer. So I love, you know, how this one's done. A lot of them, again, are those very special bespoke hats. They're all one of a kind. And they all have sentimental value to me. So, you know.
Explain how does it work? Do you go to the milliner and you say, hi, I'm Jen Su. I'd like to buy a hat. Will you make one specially for me? And then they do a creation just for you, for the outfit that you wear. Wow.
Exactly. You know, this one, again, is from Jacqueline Colby. Mm-hmm. Beautifully done. And it was to match a dress that I was wearing for an event. So a lot of them are for various events. And
I've got some pictures.
It's really amazing what a milliner does, because they go and they match all the material and all of the little details that they put in there, whether it's a little bit of the beading or the feathers.
I want to show some pictures of you at various events with your hats on. Look at this one. Here's Jen looking fantastic. Where is this?
This is in Joburg, actually, but it was a Thai festival for Loy Katong.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was MC for that.
And there, that hat matches perfectly with
that
outfit.
That's the hat. Yeah. I got that hat right here.
Oh, there it is. Look at that. There it is. Oh, that's beautiful. Okay, then we've got this one. That's terrific. Look at you.
That is. That was for the BMW Polo in Joburg. Mm.
Very nice. Okay. And
it was really hard to put on, though. We needed about 100 pins, hair pins.
100?
Jen, you surely cannot fit into a car with a fascinator like
that. Oh, yeah, many times. Oh, my gosh. That's the hardest thing. Getting you're wearing a hat, and then suddenly, or like you come up to kiss somebody, and then it's like,
falls off. Here's a big hat that you were wearing. Where was this? You look magnificent here. This is the races. Yeah, look at that.
I love that hat from Paloo. Yes. And
this one also
is a really fun hat. This was from Saks Fifth Avenue in New York.
Beautiful.
And yeah, I always try to make sure that the shade matches the dress exactly.
And then what hat is this that you got on here? Hang on, that's not true. Sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
So Jen, do you think you're done now with over 300 hats? Do you think you're done, or do you still collect them?
So I keep saying that's it. I am not going to spend any more money on hats. You know, this is getting ridiculous, but... I do see hats. I'll go, you know, to Harrods, or I'll go to the shops around here, and there's just always something really fun. Or I think there's an occasion and I've got to wear something like I've got a golf outing and I need a golf. I need a hole in one. Here we go. Hole in one.
And it actually moves. Yeah, the golf ball moves around.
Yes.
I got a hamburger. I'm going to a food festival. I need to eat.
Hamburger hat. That's so great. Exactly. Oh my God.
You have a hat for every case.
Absolutely. You know?
But I mean, you do go.
I have to say, we need to uplift our spirits as much as possible. And this has been at least a fun way of always just keeping me laughing and smiling.
Yes. But you do go to a lot of events, and you also are the master of ceremonies at a lot of these events, or you're performing at these events. So you need to look the part, and it does just smarten up the whole outfit, right? If you've got a hat on, it just makes it that much more glamorous.
I think so.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not for everybody. And believe me, I've been made fun of in the media plenty. You just kind of have to get over it. I've always been a Mad Hatter since I was in Asia, all the way through Africa and America. And, you know, I'll always be one. But, you know, sometimes I, at home, I haven't been wearing them. I don't sit there wearing these all day long.
No, don't ruin the vision, because I think you are going to buy milk and you wear one of these.
Could you imagine?
Yes.
Well,
it does attract a lot of attention. The main thing, though, it gets people smiling. They love it. It gets people chatting and, you know, excited. And I guess that's what it's all about.
Now,
Having fun.
And this is a point that Carl makes. He says, with the size of some of those hats, Jennifer Sue was doing social distancing before it was even cool. I mean,
that is so true.
It does create some space between you and other people, because if you've got one of those very wide brimmed hats, then nobody can get close to you, right?
That's right. That's actually a really good way of doing it without sort of offending anybody.
Amazing. I've got
This one's a wide brim hat. So these, you put these on, and then, you know, it's like anyone starts to lean in, and especially anyone you don't like, then it's like a really good.
All right. So you showed us that one with the disco balls on that you actually made yourself. So you bought the basic hat, and then you added stuff to it. So you're a bit of an amateur milliner yourself then.
Well, I'm a quirky designer. I do also design stuff. And I mean, sometimes if I can't actually do it, you know, physically stitch it myself, I'll bring the design and I'll show someone and I'll work with them and we'll do it together. It's kind of like renovating my house right now. I've got lots of designs and ideas. I obviously can't do all the drilling and all of the electrical work that goes with it, but, you know, at least I've got something in my mind. And so I guess it keeps the creative juices flowing.
I love it. I mean, you want to say something, Sia? Go ahead.
Yeah, Jen, a bit of the downside is that you have sons who might not appreciate this much. So do you like share some of your hats? Do you have nieces that you can share them with? What do you do with all of these hats?
That's a very good question. Nobody wants my hats. No one.
Shame.
But I think that some of these hats actually are going to be worth a lot of money one day. But that's not why I'm doing it. I started by collecting them on my travels and tours, and then next thing I knew, you know, I had way too many hats. Having two sons, they're not at all interested in my hats. In fact, they might be a little bit embarrassed, saying, oh my God, you know, just don't tell everybody that you collect all these hats, okay? The 300 hats is a little much.
I hope you got some kind of sombrero somewhere as well, like a proper Mexican sombrero.
Oh, I do.
She's
give her a moment.
There we go.
But you know what? I can be best friends with Lady Gaga. She'll appreciate my hat.
She will. Listen, I mean, this is incredible. I'm always blown away because I forget how you are not only this glamorous woman who goes to all the important things in the world, but I also forget that you happen to have the greatest hat collection in the world. So you got to leave it to someone who will appreciate it. Maybe you should make Lady Gaga your heir of your hat estate.
Oh my goodness. I think I would, you know, and Lady Gaga would do well with a lot of these fun hats. I have to say, though, I loved your brother's collection of action figures. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
And then the other guy that had all the spiders.
Yes.
Whoa.
Leanne didn't like that one.
I'm so scared of spiders. Mm-hmm. I'm like with Leanne. I am so scared of spiders. And when I saw that, I was just like, oh, my God. Who could look at that all day long?
Well, horrible.
Incredible, these people. How do you find them?
Well, listen, we find them because we know people like you. That's collectors. All collectors are a little bit crazy, but your collection is beautiful. And I'm sure lots and lots of people very inspired by that. It's great to see you again, Jen. We love talking to you, and look after yourself. We hope that we'll see you back in South Africa soon. Come and visit us, and make sure you pack a whole bunch of hats because we're going to want to see you dressed up to the nines.
Thank you, Gareth, Tia, and Leanne. It's so good to be with all of you guys on Cliff Central. I love it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. There she is. Jen Su, the Mad Hatter. That's what they call her in Asia. They call her the Mad Hatter. She's terrific. We love her.
I forgot to ask her if she had a fox hat.
What's a fox hat?
It's from that joke.
Hang on. She's got
Mary,
a fox hat.
Mary's...
Look here.
What? A fox.
Of course.
What was that joke? Which was I'm going to.
No. It's,
yeah.
So
the fox say, wasn't it what the fox say or something?
No. So what happens was apparently they were on a hunt somewhere in England, and
yes,
and Prince Charles said, "What should I wear?" And Camilla says to him, "Wear the fox hat," and he goes. On the hunt, obviously, because that's where they're going. Something like that. I can't remember. It's a shit joke. Anyway, let's just leave it alone. Terrible joke.
He mentions a place name. He says, "I'm going to
Timbuktu,
Kilderberg, or whatever."
All right.
And she says, wear the fox hat.
Okay.
Sorry, stupid joke.
I got that. We both.
Yeah, it took us both a long time. Sorry. joke telling on a Monday morning is not our forte today. Anyway, there's Jen Su. Always good to check in with her. And this is a part of Collectomania, which is brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop, where you can go and start your own collection. It's a great thing to be a collector of whatever crazy stuff makes you excited. Could be hats, it could be action figures, it could be gold coins, it could be just about anything. And it's a very cool thing to do. Everybody needs to collect something. What is that? What is that sound?
My week has started off on the best notes with Jitsu.
She's the greatest. I mean, she really is. But do you see all those hats laid out in that room?
I feel I can only just imagine what her hat closets are going to be like.
Well, ask her. She'll send you pictures. But she says she's building five. Oh, she's building five more. So wait till those are built. then we'll see some pictures. But isn't that cool? All right.
I feel like they'll have, you know, at least like couches, because she'll just lounge in that room while staring at every inch of the walls covered with just shelves and shelves and shelves of these hats. She was telling me when I spoke to her a couple of days ago in preparation for this, mm-hmm. She was telling me, you know, it's very important to let the hats breathe. See,
oh, yeah?
I'm thinking, what?
No, you can't just pile
them. Yeah, otherwise they can get all moldy. They can
breathe.
I love it. It's great. She at least puts her collection to use, you know, like she's got a useful collection of stuff. I want to just quickly talk about a picture of Angelina Jolie that went viral on World Bee Day. And apparently it's not a bidet, it's a World Bee Day, which was on Friday, I think, was it? You know, we've got this problem with bees that are in certain parts of the world, they're going extinct, and we don't have enough bees. And if mm-hmm. we don't have enough bees, then we won't be able
to pollination.
Right. So everything falls apart if the ecosystem doesn't have bees. So for World Bee Day, Angelina Jolie, there was this picture they put up of her. Just take a look at this quickly. And she's covered in bees. And those are
covered in bees.
And those are real bees. And she's covered in actual bees. Which must have been, she's clearly not allergic, because otherwise that wouldn't have worked out so well. But it's a great picture. Yeah. And apparently
it is.
Apparently to make it happen, they had to had to put some stuff on her, like bee pheromones or whatever, and then the bees would just crawl around on her like that?
Or they could have just put the queen bee there, and the others would have followed very quickly.
But it'd been a bit of a problem if they decided to develop a hive in her dress or something. That's not so great.
Yeah, and you'll be surprised. Those bees won't sting her, especially if they're just concerned about where the queen is and the movement. That's all they'll worry about.
Look at this quickly. Here they are moving around on her, and she's trying to stand still. Can you imagine that? It's quite incredible, huh? Landing on her face and everything. That's great.
Oh, no.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
I do like Angelina.
She sat with that for 18 minutes.
Yeah, well, you know, some people work in some people work in a salt mine. I'm sure she'll be all right.
But look, Angelina, I think with this project, she was just reminding the world that she's the original hipster. She's the original, you know, do-gooder.
No, she's
people.
I do like her.
Doing some.
I think she's great. I think she's great. And you know what? Frankly, I'd rather have people standing up for bees than for all the other crap that we see on social media most of the time. So that's a worthwhile.
Well, she's done everything. Leanne, what is happening?
The cat's just showing us his asshole again. This cat of Leanne's loves to display its asshole to us. Which cat's that?
This is Jordan.
Hello, Jordan.
She's 17.
She does not like being held like that and being forced to talk to us.
No, she's very old and grumpy, but very needy.
Okay. Yeah, clearly. Also likes to show her backside to us as often as possible.
Yeah, she needs one of those little key rings that you put over the tail, and it's got a medal, the medallion, which covers everything up.
Yeah, they wouldn't be so porno.
Cats just don't give a damn. They
no,
just
not
do not
at all.
Care. I don't like them because of that. You know, dogs still like to, no matter how old they are, they still like to please and they want your affection.
Yes.
Cats just do not care.
No, they don't.
They are very affectionate.
Listen, I woke up the other night, must have been like 2-3 in the morning. There were two cats fighting outside my house. But it was
a horrible sound.
It was the most, it sounded like Armageddon. I mean, these, they're screaming at each other for like a good 20 minutes. And I don't know what happened, but I heard a funny story yesterday. A friend of mine said to me, he was on a morning run, and he was running down this road, and this cat was suddenly surprised by him because the cat was obviously doing its thing. And then he came around the corner and the cat shat itself and it ran up a little alley straight into another cat, and then they started fighting. And cats are just, they, you know, that doesn't necessarily happen with other animals with the kind of regularity that it happens with cats. They love to fight with each other. He also said he saw a cat once up a drain pipe, like backed up a drain pipe, just the paw coming out trying to hit another cat that was fighting with it.
They can be quite dangerous.
They're so bizarre. I'm not a big cat.
And
fan,
I don't
know
what it is. I'm, as advanced or modernized as I am or can be, there's still this connotation that I have with cats and like witches or bad luck or something or the other. When was it? 2 weeks back when I was driving back to Joburg from KZN, we saw a cat on the side of the highway just randomly.
And you
I told
it was
my cousin who was driving, I'm like, yeah, I was like, we need to pray. Ah, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
So was
Jesus,
it was because the theory is that only a pitch black cat with no other markings on it is bad luck.
Right? Tugout.
That's what Tugout, exactly.
Yeah,
Tugout.
Yeah,
so funny. I was thinking last night about good advice, and one of the pieces of good advice that comes from, I think, the Bible, or it could even have been some 16th century manuscript, is thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. And I always think that that's something I remind myself of every morning. If I do encounter a witch today, I should not suffer her to live. You must kill witches wherever you meet them.
Oh my God.
I mean, what a thing to say. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. That's so great. I wish I could meet a real witch.
I'm sure that can be arranged.
Well, remember we had a witch on the show once, but she was a good witch. And that's not exciting. I want to meet one of those evil witches who has like a book of spells and a cauldron and a tall pointy hat. I mean, that would be hilarious, right? Imagine if there were people who
Why?
Actually... Because it would just be very funny. I find the whole idea of witches just mildly amusing. It always makes me laugh. I've told you there's this tree not too far from me, and it looks like a tree that a witch would live in. We call it the witch tree. And it's this gnarled, ugly-looking tree that kind of seems to have had a really difficult time growing into that shape that it's in. It's very odd.
I don't want to play around with that, so no thank you.
Katleho Mulai, who you remember, Katleho used to be Aria's producer, and she was a part of the Cliff Central family from the very get-go. She's just sent us this message. Good morning from the Seychelles. Oh. You lucky, lucky, lucky bitch.
Mm,
hey, yeah. How's that?
Yeah,
I was very lucky to have gone to the Seychelles 3 times in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just read further in her messages explaining the weather, where she says it's very hot and humid.
Right.
I've never experienced humidity like that in my life.
That's so beautiful.
It's unbelievable.
Really?
You need to wear a towel around you because you just sweat. It's like being in a sauna. But I missed that place. It was
so Cisco could bear well in the Seychelles. Cisco walked around with a towel in the early 2000s.
And a thong, a thong, thong, thong. Do you know that song?
Actually, where is he now?
Who cares? Yeah. But that song was hilarious. How does it go? She had dumps like a truck, truck, truck. Remember that?
Hey.
Let me see a thong. The thong, the thong, thong, thong. Great song.
I actually watched him. It is the most useless piece of information I can dispel on a Monday morning. I watched him explain how that song came about. And as ridiculous as the song is, it's a great video on YouTube. He was actually inspired by an orchestra. There was a piece of music that he heard.
Mm-hmm.
And if you recall or try to hear it in your mind, it's a violin chord. There was, dun, 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 dun. And he heard a violin sound like that.
And he immediately thought, let me make this about a woman wearing a thong. That's very creative. It's a huge mental leap. Good for him. All right, everybody. We're out of time for this morning. We will see you tomorrow bright and early at 6 a.m. And we're meant to be doing Gord's final show this Friday, but I just realized, I'm not here this Friday, so we might have to, I don't know, we might have to move that and make another plan. But let's see what we can do. So, Leanne, you know, we moved you to Wednesdays, and now Gord says, well, he can't do the show every Friday, so now we I don't know what we're going to do. We'll have to
Oh, my Lord.
I know. So now you're inconvenienced as well. Very nice.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. All right. Have a good Monday, everybody. Don't do anything stupid today. Start your week off right. Try not to get into fights with anyone. That's always good advice. And do not suffer a witch to live.
Thank you for that
very
amazing
good.
Piece of
that's advice. That's about all that you need to know to start your week properly. And we will see you tomorrow, bright and early at 6. Be good. CliffCentral.com